News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
In the last 20 minutes or so, that new report from the United Kingdom, basically scenarios, a hard Brexit scenario, how they manage in terms of a hard Brexit. I suppose the most interesting thing for Ireland is Britain will not introduce any checks or controls on goods moving from the south to the north. There will be, interestingly, I wonder what the DUP make of this, there will be tariffs or checks and controls on goods moving from Ireland into Britain. But there will be no customs declaration for normal goods and no tariffs on goods going north from the south. However, and there is a big asterisk applied to that, of course, it'll be for the Irish government and for the EU, more importantly, to determine what measures might be applied on goods going the other direction. And inevitably, there will have to be tariffs there and checks to preserve the sanctity of the single market, Ciarán.
Yeah, two issues with this, very briefly. There's what you said. If they suddenly allow chlorinated chicken, is the classic example people give, in the north, we're going to have to stop it some way getting into the south or check it, or else in France and in Belgium and in Spain, they're going to want to check everything leaving the Republic going to the continent. The other issue is, and this is what we're going to have to get detail on as the show progresses over the next hour, what the British have suggested this morning is in breach of World Trade Organization rules.
Yeah.
They're a member of the WTO, and there are WTO tariffs, and there are penalties in place if you breach WTO rules. WTO rules apply as soon as you leave it. And I think that is something that the Irish government this morning are going to be scratching their heads about, saying this is in breach of all of that. They're suddenly down there they're in disagreement with the World Trade Organization.
We will come back to that in a lot more detail later in the programme.
Earlier this morning, I did speak to the European Affairs Minister, Helen McEntee, just before details of these tariffs emerged. But she discussed where we should be going now in terms of Brexit. And I started by asking if she was surprised yesterday that Geoffrey Cox, the Attorney General in the UK, didn't move as much as he and his colleagues perhaps hoped he would in terms of his legal advice.
Well, I suppose I think we're all surprised that at the turn of events yesterday, I think we had hoped and very much given the way in which the negotiations have progressed over the last weeks, again, that we would be able to see a positive vote last night and that the withdrawal agreement could be ratified by the House of Commons. I think the Attorney General was honest in his response. He was very clear that there had been significant movements on the part of the EU. And I think from our point of view, there was certainly further compromise. At the same time, the changes did not in any way change the withdrawal agreement itself or change the Irish protocol and the need to protect the border and the Good Friday Agreement. So, I mean, where we are now is obviously we know that the withdrawal agreement was rejected last night, and saying it not rejected by the same numbers as it was a number of weeks ago, but nonetheless rejected. And we find ourselves in a situation where we have two avenues to us now. And I think from the Irish government's point of view, we need to continue focusing on preparations for a no-deal scenario.
Yeah.
Days away and it's getting ever closer.
In terms of that no-deal preparation, I suppose it's a dual focus of mine this morning. People wondering what exactly is going to happen in the House of Commons over the next couple of days. And there'll be a focus on these hard Brexit plans that the British government are going to publish later today. We know a little about what's in them, particularly about what's in the border. They're talking essentially about an honesty box version of the border that people will self-regulate, self-declare using some sort of app on their phone. That might suit people in Ireland. I don't think it's going to suit our European partners to have a European frontier based on merit and honesty.
Well, look, I mean, as you said yourself, we're hearing snippets of this and parts of this and what they're talking about is introducing and publishing in terms of tariffs, but also the border. Just firstly, I mean, in terms of tariffs, this is a lose-lose scenario. It's a lose for the people on this island, in particular for the North, but also for the UK. And it goes against absolutely everything that we have been working towards. But I would remind the Prime Minister of her own words about a year ago. She gave a speech. It was around the time of the snow in response to our own Brexiteers and many MPs who said, well, we simply won't put up a border and if the EU want to, they can. She was very clear in saying, we are leaving the single market, we are leaving the customs union. There is an onus and an obligation to make sure that we work with our partners. They're talking about things being temporary, that it would be applied and that they would enter into discussions with the EU and with Ireland. I mean, this is exactly what we have been doing for the past 2.5 years, and this is what we have been working towards. So,
yeah,
you know, the focus needs to be on tonight, very much my understanding. And again, this is hearing from the UK that they will vote to reject a no deal. However,
yeah,
again, as the Prime Minister herself said, that does not take a no deal off the table.
No, it doesn't. We spoke to Matthew Paris, actually, the columnist at the Times, former Conservative MP, earlier on the show, and he said, look, the big fear is they will vote that down tonight, take no deal off the table, but still crash out by mistake. He talked as well a little bit about what he thought is likely to happen. He thought the likelihood of a hard Brexit, it's still there, but it's down. The likelihood of a second referendum is probably up, but it's still not likely. He said what you're looking at is an extension really so that the UK can have a general election. What's your sense, being so involved, of what's going to happen?
Well, I mean, I think the likely outcome of tonight is that they will vote to avoid it. But, you know, the Prime Minister was clear last night in saying if we vote to avoid it, it doesn't prevent it. And if we cannot ourselves come together with a unified position as to what next, if there is a no deal, we can't blame anybody but ourselves. So the onus is very much on the UK to come forward with their own solutions. If they are that adamant, and if there is a majority in the House that wants to avoid a no deal, they need to look very carefully at what it is they do next, because, you know, they're putting in place mechanisms, or they're planned for a no deal scenario. They themselves are already saying that it would be temporary, that it would require them immediately entering into discussions with the EU. So why let it get to that point? If they need an extension, we've always said we're not going to stand in their way, and we want to work with them. This is not a blame game. You know, as I said, it's a lose-lose for everybody.
How long an extension? A lot of focus on that this morning, that it has to be done, would have to be done before the European elections. Others saying, that's not nearly enough time. You just make it 6 months, make it a year.
Well, the elections, I think, cause a huge amount of difficulty, and I don't think there is really absolute legal clarity as to what would happen if the EU, or the UK, sorry, were still in the EU after elections. There's talk about there would be cases taken to court in terms of people and their rights as to whether or not they should be allowed to vote, or that they should have representation. So we still don't have clarity on that. And I think if the UK are to ask for an extension, they're going to have to be very clear as to what it is they're asking for. Are they looking for an extension to give them time, as you said, for an election, for a second referendum, to put this particular withdrawal agreement to the people? Or is it, you know, are they actually going to come back and say, well, we want to completely change, we're looking at our red lines, we think we might move them? You know, there are all of these options,
yeah,
and we can guess and we can wonder. But until they actually put forward their own proposals, and until I think the Prime Minister and Labour, the leader of the Labour Party, come together to identify a unified position, then we are, I think we are very much going to need to focus on our no-deal planning, because
okay,
that is the direction we are heading if they do not come together and form a unified position.
Yeah, that was the Minister for European Affairs, Helen McEntee, speaking to me, as I reminded people, just to remind people, should I say, shortly before we had those tariff announcements from the UK government. We're going to get more detail on them and the implications of them with Edgar Morgenroth, the economist in DCU, in a couple of minutes.
But before that, let's get the perspective from Britain. We are joined by Conservative MP Chris Green. Chris, you were on the programme with us a couple of months back. I was very taken at the time. You expressed the fear that ultimately, when it came to Brexit, the can might be kicked down the road. Is your prediction coming to fruition? Is that the most likely outcome at this point?
In terms of what we're seeing, we're actually seeing a process where the European Union and the British government can't get together to agree a decent proposal, a decent withdrawal agreement that Parliament can support. And I don't think there's any support across the country for the details, the content of this withdrawal agreement. So I do fear the process being kicked down the road, but this butts up into the European Union elections, and I think that causes the EU very significant problems if it does.
So what does happen next then? I mean, the problem you mentioned is quite clear, those European elections. Can that be overcome? I mean, in your view, are we looking at an extension? Is that the most likely outcome? Or could we have that hard Brexit?
I think it's almost impossible to say. I'd be very dubious about having any form of extension. If it's a short extension, well, what could we negotiate in a few weeks, a couple of months, that we couldn't have already done in nearly 3-year period since the referendum itself? And if it's a longer extension with a view back, well, that would often be thought to have a view for a second referendum or another general election. But if we do that and it's a 9-month period or so before that happens, then Britain will have to elect MEPs. Mm. And when you think of the groupings in the European Union for MEPs and all the internal politics mm-hmm. of the European Union, that will cause the EU huge problems. So I think that's a bad route to go down.
Are we looking at a hard Brexit just briefly?
I think that a form of that is most likely. But a huge amount of work has been done between the UK and EU. What I would like to see is all the substance taken out of the withdrawal agreement, taken out of other negotiations. And just as we now have a road haulage bilateral agreement between the UK and EU, we have an aviation agreement between the UK and EU, let's get a whole series of other bilateral agreements. Let's make sure the tariffs are right, not just for Britain, but also for our friends in the EU, including Republic of Ireland. Let's make sure we actually, perhaps it would be called a hard Brexit, but actually we could have a hard Brexit with common sense bilateral agreements that works for everyone.
Chris, thanks for joining us. Conservative MP there, Chris Green.
Now, as you've heard this morning, the British government have announced their temporary unilateral measures that will kick into place in the case of a no-deal Brexit, which Chris Green has predicted could well come to pass. Britain will not introduce any checks or controls on goods moving from north to, from south to the north, and no tariffs on goods going from south to the north. And they say it would be for the Irish government and for the EU to determine what measures might be applied on goods going in the other direction. Well, Eoghair Morgenroth, the economist, professor of economics at DCU, joins me now. Eoghair, two things strike me about this. First of all, the issue of goods coming from one regulatory regime into another, from north into south, post-hard Brexit, and also World Trade Organization's rules. So let's deal with them in that order. Is it as simple as the British are saying, look, it's up to you to decide what you want to do at the border, but we're not going to check anything?
I think what they have proposed, and this is a quick sort of scan over what's there, is that this is temporary. And in fact, if they had lots of goods coming from all over the EU coming into the UK without paying their tariffs, which they would have to pay if they came in at Dover, they would very soon actually close that border. Basically a smokescreen to say, oh, well, it's not us who is going to impose a hard border. But actually, down the line, they have no choice but to do so. And the EU, of course, has the same issue that, you know, you can't have a situation where goods come into the UK from third countries and then freely flow into the European market.
Yeah, the example people give is when regulations diverge, that essentially, say, chlorinated chicken is the example often given. But just for that example, let's go with it, that it can come into the UK or the North, and if we don't stop it coming into the South, the French or the Germans or the Spanish are going to want to stop it leaving the Republic, coming to the continent.
That's right. And in fact, I don't think anyone in Ireland wants to see it on the market either.
No.
So we have this problem, and that's been the ongoing problem that we've had in these negotiations, that the Brexiteers want to, on the one hand, do trade deals with third countries, be basically free from any kind of common regulation with the EU, and on the other hand, want to keep borders free and so on. And basically, we're still where we are, where we have been for the last number of years. The Brexiteers trying to say that they can have their cake and eat it.
Yeah.
And indeed, what I heard on your program just a minute ago about lots of bilateral agreements, that's the sort of situation we have in Switzerland. And it isn't something that the EU is particularly keen on. And in fact, if you think about how we have taken 2 years to negotiate a withdrawal agreement, if we're going to have, and in the case of Switzerland, we have several hundred agreements, if we're going to have to negotiate each of these, we'll be at it for a very, very long time.
Can I ask you very briefly, because I know this is quite a complicated one for people listening, but just if briefly as we can, there's an issue as well with the World Trade Organization, I assume, as well, because what we've heard all along is that their tariffs have to kick in, certainly eventually they'd have to kick in, and one country can't, outside of some sort of trade agreement or bilateral deal, just say, oh, well, this country, we're not going to apply tariffs on these products.
Well, what happens there is, I mean, the EU has registered a set of tariffs with the WTO. It's what we call the most favoured nation tariffs. And if it applies to one third country, it has to apply to them all. So if the UK sets a particular tariff regime, that will have to apply to all the third countries for them.
So it's problematic to suggest that we'll just do this for Ireland.
Exactly.
All right. Look, Edgar Morgan Roth, Professor of Economics at DCU. Edgar, thanks a million for that.